You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Our Town is one of the most popular choices for summer stock, high school, and amateur theater productions. But if you think you know this play too well, think again. Like Emily revisiting her 10th birthday, you're almost sure to find a new production at the Barrow Street Theater, an awesome and humbling revelation. I'm so happy that it brings director David Cromer to the show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I should also add that you play the key role of the stage manager. Is this a blatant case of typecasting? You know, well, if you weren't so good, I might have thought that it was downright nepotism.
I just couldn't find anyone as brilliant as me available for the money. I didn't have to work very hard for the part, but I had no help from the director.
Well, while you were performing, were you also taking notes for the cast?
Yeah. I don't much anymore. But one of the reasons I carry a legal pad is in Chicago while we were this production is based on a production I did last year in Chicago at a theater called The Hypocrites, and while we were rehearsing I just had to keep the pad with me, and I would sort of wander around the space and watch it from different angles, and I'd write down, and then when we got into performance, of course I was basically under rehearsed because I had postponed all of my rehearsal work to work on the show, and I was just so panicky I didn't want to change anything. So I said, if I go out there without the pad in my hand, I'm going to be disoriented and it's going to fall apart and I'm going to forget everything I'm supposed to say. So I just kept it with me. There was kind of a reason for a reason for why I played the part that was sort of had to do with our approach to the play. It wasn't just that I thought everyone should have to sit and listen to me. It had to do with we were trying to just look at the play with fresh eyes and treat it as if it hadn't been done, because I did it like anyone else does it, which is like, well, we need a bunch of period costumes and we'll need some sound effects so we hear the chickens and we'll need – and that's great. It doesn't matter. A brilliantly conceived production like Jed Harris's production was is a great thing, and why mess with it? But we were sort of I feel the play so radical and still is very shocking, and we sort of felt like maybe some of the theatrical trappings of it distance the audience a little bit.
And because it's such a bare-bones production with great acting, mm-hmm. There's a sense of timelessness. This is a play that's 60-something years old?
1938, So I can't do that kind of math. That's 71 years, right?
71 right? years, and not one moment do you feel like you're seeing something that's 71 years old. Mm-hmm.
Well,
is it just that Thornton Wilder wrote it brilliantly?
Yes.
This is his best play, and he wrote some pretty good plays.
Yeah. I think it's just that I'm not qualified to say why something is a masterpiece, but it's a masterpiece. I guess that's a word that we throw around a lot. It has real greatness as a piece of literature, and there's people whose job it is to figure out why that is and to describe it. I can't do it. It's just everything works, everything relates. It is both innocent and experienced, and it's funny. I think it does something that all really great things do, which is it can't come to a single conclusion. It is about that we're going to zigzag back and forth between like joy and despair, or between obsessing about something so small, like, am I going to say something stupid in this interview right now, this minute, or the grand scheme of things, the universe, my life, what does it matter? This is a blip, and everything in between. And the minute you focus on one, you forget the other. And the minute you focus on the other, you know, something falls off the wall, your dishes break, or someone gets sick, and, you know.
Well, it's also an ensemble piece, and that works within what you've just been saying, mm-hmm. because even the smallest roles are of interesting people.
Okay.
And, for example, I never really thought much about the organist and how dark that part was until I saw this production. But he's an interesting character. Everybody's an interesting character. And one of my producers says she played Emily in high school. And she said that when she saw your production, it was the first time that she'd realized the play wasn't about Emily.
Right. It's about the stage manager. It's about
it's really about the collective experience.
Yes. Yeah. It's about, well, it's called Our Town. And I just always end up back around to the idea of the title. I mean, it's, and then who's our, what do we mean? What's the group we're referring to in terms of Our Town? So it becomes collective.
I mean, is it the people in the town or is it everybody's town?
I guess it's everybody's. You know, I think that work that I'm most attracted to is about the universal in the particular. So, and this is the great example of that. This might be one of the first kind of great examples of that.
Now, what happens when the front page of the New York Times Arts and Leisure section calls you the most talented director Americans don't know? Does that immediately make you better known?
Yeah.
Does that ruin the whole thing for you?
Does it ruin it? I wish I had a beautiful answer for this. It was very, very bizarre to me. It was a very strange experience. And there's a story that Albert Brooks told once, the comedian and the film director Albert Brooks.
Real name Albert Einstein.
Albert Einstein. Yeah. His father was Park Your Carcass, the radio comedian. And he said that the first time he was on The Tonight Show, he called his mother and he said, I'm going to be on The Tonight Show. Tonight I'm going to be on The Tonight Show tonight. And she says, oh, that's great. This isn't the regular Tonight Show, right? This is like a local, like a test show. You know, like she couldn't conceive of the fact that he was going to be on the real thing. I sort of felt like it was when the Times piece got written, I couldn't quite get my head around the fact that it was the New York Times. So I was like, this is like what? This is like just the local? This is just going to be in Chicago? Or I don't know what to say about it. It infuriated my enemies, you know, which is always important. And it was exciting to my family. It really did cause a lot of phone calls and a lot of business.
But do you think that the reason that they could say that is because you haven't done the big Broadway thing, that you've worked in smaller theaters and you've also worked so much in Chicago, which is one of the great theater cities of the world, but still to New Yorkers is that other place.
Right. And this is the other place to us. You live where you live. And we don't travel the world. It's hard to see theater around the world, I would imagine. Maybe you see more than that. But
I've been to the West End a couple of times.
Yeah, a couple.
That's it.
just a few.
I lived in London for a while.
That's okay.
But
I've never been to London. I've barely been anywhere. I guess it has a lot to do with the fact that my ambitions have always been sort of small. I wanted to stay in my apartment, and I directed plays with my friends, and inexplicably, they started getting attention. So.
Are these actors all from Chicago?
No. There were – how to make this not boring. Let's see. Okay, I'll give you the short answer. Only six actors, including myself, are people who were involved in the two versions of Our Town we did in Chicago. We did a run last spring, and then we reopened it last fall.
The same basic set and the same basic approach?
Yeah. It's pretty similar. The space in Chicago was a lot longer. It was and a lot shorter. The ceilings were only 11 feet, which is why we don't have ladders. It's very, very similar in approach. I mean, things evolved, and obviously by casting a bunch of different actors, there's sort of two. It's a balance between like telling them what it is I think it should be, and then sitting back and hearing what they're doing, and then building off of that. So the footprint of a lot of scenes are very different.
I guess the reason I asked that is that everybody felt like they had been doing it together for a while. Mm-hmm. Why do you think this play is so popular for all kinds of amateur theatrical troupes? Is it production proof? Is it actor proof?
Yes.
Is it director proof?
Yeah. As evidenced by last night, yes, it is director proof. Yes, I think it is. I think that it is. Well, no. Anything can be screwed up. Anything can be ruined. Anything can be stomped on. But it moves really beautifully. The everything that follows very effectively. It never allows anyone enough stage time to really do any real damage. someone else will come on and do something else. It And there is a point where I know where I believe the absolute demarcation point is, but there's points all the way through the play where the play stops being about us and becomes absolutely about you. And then you start to fill in. I mean, that's the case with any good piece. It's the case with almost any piece of work, which is you make your own associations. But Our Town in particular hands it to you and just starts to open up your own experiences and your own. I mean, did you find that?
Yes.
Did you find that? I mean, I spend most of the third act thinking about my father's death. So
so much of it is about Grover's Corners being a really boring place where mm-hmm. nothing much ever happens. Mm-hmm. And as an audience, you buy that for a moment, mm-hmm. and then you realize, no, this is about what's happened to everybody's life. Mm-hmm. This is really about the human experience. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the brilliance of the play.
Yeah. Someone said to me the other day, someone asked me the other day if I thought that a play about small towns would relate to a big city, relate to people in a big city. And I realized something, which is that ultimately we all live in small communities. I mean, maybe you see 100 people a day that you know, that you talk to on a busy day, maybe. So everyone, no matter where, you can be living in the middle of Manhattan and you're living in a small community just because your day can only hold so much. So everyone lives in, I mean, it's the most universal thing in the world. It's just here's all the people you deal with in a day.
My guest is David Cromer, who is the director and also the person who plays the stage manager in a new production of Our Town at the Barrow Street Theater. Gotten incredibly good reviews, with good reason. But did the original production get good reviews?
Boy, I'm not the Our Town scholar I should be. There were some dismissive reviews. There were some reviews that felt it was slight, that was underdramatized. There is one review that I think called it the final word in experimental theater.
And yet it's about as naturalistic and realistic as you could ever hope theater to be.
Well, but then the fourth wall is broken, and then there's a flashback, and then actors in 1901 speak to audience members in 1938. And, I mean, it keeps getting stranger, you know?
Yeah. Well, the audiences start buying. At first, I guess it does feel like, well, what kind of theater is this? And then after a while, you just buy into it.
There was a performance in Chicago where in the middle of the first act, a lady who I would say probably was 70 or so. So Our Town had been in existence most of her life, said out loud, "This is the weirdest play I've ever seen."
She couldn't deal with the inconsistencies.
We took that as a point of pride.
Now, you've done a number of well-received revivals, not just Our Town, but also Picnic and Glass Menagerie. Is it important that the play be familiar and that you be allowed to rethink it?
Oh, I don't know if that's an agenda. I on bad days, I think it's because I'm lazy. Like, I just go, well, I've already read this one, so I don't have to do a lot of research. But I think the plays that stick around for a reason.
But you did this pretty straightforwardly. Many directors impose a concept on a classic play to bring them back to life, like a World War II Macbeth, or Come Back, Little Sheba recently was done with an interracial cast on Broadway. This is pretty straightforward, except for the fact that we don't have the ladders that we know for productions, and we don't have the period costumes.
Right. Well, my goal, my goal is always that the play is going to tell you what it wants. Or my idea is the play is always going to tell you exactly what it wants to be. And that what it is, often my colleagues of mine think that in order to explore something further, you have to change it. Or you have to put something on it in order to illuminate it. I think that if you just explore what's there, if you sort of crack that atom, or split that atom, I don't know, bad physics, you're going to release all of its energy by just focusing on what it is and not what else it can be. One of the dangers is that it's like painting a wall you haven't built yet. You know, there's enough work to make exactly what's on the page in Our Town, truthful and immediate, without going looking for trouble, you know, to come up with something else it has to be. So the idea is just to let the play speak for itself. It's not easy. We're not doing nothing. We're not not trying things, but we're just trying to let each word ring out, and then again, the audience does most of the revising or most of the revisionist work.
Well, I must admit that something I read in the Wall Street Journal that called your production of Picnic the best performance of anything the reviewer had ever seen—not theater, but anything—was enough to pique my interest.
Yes,
so
yes.
Is Picnic going to be coming to New York?
I don't have any. I don't know. I don't know. Picnic was revived 15 years ago in New York, was it? With Ashley Judd and.
And people called it kind of dated. Inge often gets called dated. How do you prevent that?
Okay. I've been in the dated conversation a couple of times, and it's interesting to me. I did a production in 1998 of Angels in America, in Chicago. That was well received. But people kept asking, "I'm curious about this play. Is it dated now?" And I think they meant, "Is it dated now that Pryor's illness would be more
treated with a cocktail?"
Treated with a cocktail. My feeling is, at the moment it is taking place for the character, the cocktail doesn't exist. So he's in danger. And as long as I understand, he's in real danger, you know, and really afraid and has absolutely no hope. And I think that fear and that anxiety is what sort of creates all the seismic changes that happen in that play. If he's really scared right there, it's not dated because it's right there in the room with you, you know? I don't think Inge is dated because Inge was writing about insecurities, and Inge was writing about feeling left out among many things. But for instance, the character Lola in Come Back Little Sheba, she is she has lost something she had. It's Come Back Little Sheba. She lost Little Dog. She's lost something she had, which was she used to elicit attention and desire in not only people in general, but this man. She no longer elicits that desire. That is an immediate crisis for her in that house every second. And for any of us who, you know, don't feel attractive, that's a real thing when the rest of the world is falling in love and falling in lust. Picnic deals with that a lot. Picnic is, you know, he writes about people who are stuck in situation. I think almost nothing is dated if it's immediate.
But I'm not sure that you've told me that Picnic is going to come to New York.
I don't know. Uh-huh. I would love Picnic to come to New York.
And so, also, I hear you're working on a Streetcar.
Producers. Yes.
Biloxi Blues.
Brighton Beach Memoirs and Broadway Bound. I'm not involved in. I don't know if there's a plan to work on Biloxi Blues. But Streetcar Named Desire. I'm going back to the theater I directed Picnic at next year to direct a very brilliant actress named Natasha Lowe, Chicago actor, in the role of Blanche. And then. This fall, Brighton Beach Memoirs and Broadway Bound are going to be running in rep, and there's going to be they're going to be running in rep, and then there's going to be days on Broadway, and then there's going to be days when you can see both plays.
I can't think of plays that could be more different than Streetcar and the two Simons. Okay. Yeah. But that's part of the fun too.
Each play is what it is and has to be. Did I just say it is what it is in front of God and everybody? I'm sorry. Each play has its own set of requirements.
Thank you so much for being with us, David Cromer, who is the... By the way, is this an open-ended run?
Yeah. They're selling... I believe they're selling tickets through September.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's at the Barrow Street Theater on the corner of Barrow Street and 7th Avenue South in Greenwich Village with a wonderful cast, including David Cromer. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.